Hello, and welcome to I'm Sick, Not Crazy, the podcast that helps you to take control of your own health and healing. My name is Jennifer James, and I'm a licensed and practicing psychotherapist here to talk about becoming your healthiest self, both physically and psychologically. Hello, and welcome back to I'm Sick, Not Crazy with Jennifer James, marriage family therapist. Today I want to talk about why narcissists are attracted to highly sensitive people. Health has always been a struggle for me. As a child, I have multiple memories of sleeping on the bathroom floor so that I could be near the toilet because I was too sick to be far away. As a teen, I struggled with debilitating migraines. Often, when I was at school trying to study, I suddenly noticed a shimmering circle in my peripheral vision. If I waited too long, the circle completely engulfed my sight, and I was trapped at school in the throes of a migraine so severe that I couldn't tolerate any light or sound. As soon as I noticed the shimmering known as an aura, I ran to the office and called my mother to pick me up so that she could pack me into bed, put a blanket over my bedroom window as makeshift blackout curtains, give me an ice pack for my pounding head, and shut the door so the room would be quiet as possible, because any noise at all was like a nail being driven into my skull. I had my last migraine at age 17, and thought that my struggles with my health might actually be over. What I didn't realize was that I was just at the beginning of struggling with the health of my romantic relationships. I've discussed my early marriage in previous posts. Suffice it to say, it was bad. Since then, there have been a string of bad relationships that looked great in the beginning. The trauma of these events led me both into therapy and to become a therapist in my own right. However, I hadn't realized what the true problem was until my current therapist, a wonderful woman who specializes in highly sensitive people, said, "You know, I think every man you've ever dated was a narcissist." Running through the criteria for narcissism in my head, I realized she was right. As a highly sensitive person, I possess a depth of empathy that's difficult to find. When I meet new people who interest me, I invest in getting to know more about them, and I have an unfortunate tendency to notice the light in people and disregard their shadows. For these reasons, I'm like catnip to narcissists. They love being put on a pedestal. They love a person wanting to know more about them and being interested in what they have to offer. There's a lot of talk on the media about narcissistic personality disorder, or NPD, but most people don't understand what it truly means. It sounds kind of like someone who has high self-esteem and is generally impressed with themselves. These qualities don't sound so awful. We tend to like people who like themselves. However, the truth about NPD is so much more insidious. Here are the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, or DSM, criteria for narcissistic personality disorder. A pervasive pattern of grandiosity in fantasy or behavior, need for admiration and lack of empathy, beginning by early adulthood and present in a variety of contexts, as indicated by five or more of the following. 1. Has a grandiose sense of self-importance. For example, exaggerates achievements and talents, expects to be recognized as superior without commensurate achievements. 2. Is preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love. 3. Believes that he or she is special and unique and can only be understood by or should associate with other special or high-status people or institutions. 4. Requires excessive admiration. 5. Has a sense of entitlement. For example, unreasonable expectations of especially favorable treatment or automatic compliance with his or her expectations. 6. Is interpersonally exploitative. For example, takes advantage of others to achieve his or her own ends. 7. Lacks empathy, is unwilling to recognize or identify with the feelings and needs of others. 8. is often envious of others or believes that others are envious of him or her. 9. Shows arrogant, haughty behaviors or attitudes. Author's note: while there are women with NPD, 50 to 75% of people with NPD are men. So I'm going to use the pronoun he and him to refer to the NPD person. Please know that I acknowledge that not all NPD people are male. I'm also going to refer to the person he is dating as her. This works for my purposes, but know that I recognize that romantic relationships can be between people of the same sex or people that identify as transgender or gender fluid. At first meeting, an NPD person will be excessively charming. This isn't to make the other person feel comfortable. It's a way to gain admiration. Unfortunately, this charm takes people in, especially in dating situations. When the NPD person takes a date to a fancy restaurant, buys expensive gifts for her, and takes her on romantic vacations, it isn't to show his date how much he loves and respects her. It's to make her believe that he is amazing as he believes he is. The more that she believes he is wonderful, the better he feels about himself. It's a trap. Once the NPD person has hooked his target into admiring and possibly into loving him, things start to shift and the other criteria for NPD show up. Here's a real-life example that happened to me. I had been dating Adam, not his real name, for about 3 years when he suddenly decided that we should move in together. Instead of discussing this with me, he told all of his friends about his decision, and they brought it up in conversation with me, which is how I found out. This should have been my first clue. Then, without discussing it with me, he decided that I should move into his apartment building. I told him that I would prefer that we look at other places and choose a place that was new to us both, so that it would be our place instead of a place that belonged to him. Instead of respecting this request, he informed me that he'd talked with the management of his complex and made an appointment for us to look at an available apartment, criteria 5 and 7. When I said that I had no intention of looking at the apartment in his complex because I'd already made my needs clear to him, he became very angry with me and chose to punish me by taking me on a hike that we had planned for the day and refusing to speak to me the whole time, criteria 9. It was excruciating, and I eventually told him I wasn't having a good time and was going back by myself. Adam eventually caved and said that he would look at other places, but was still quite rigid about what he wanted in an apartment and didn't much care about what I wanted. We ended up compromising on a place where we lived together for 2 years. During that 2 years, we went on amazing trips, ate at fancy restaurants, and he gave me beautiful and expensive gifts. He was a very fancy dresser and tended to talk too much about money and his expensive education. Criteria 1, 2, 3, and 4. However, living with him was excessively lonely. He spent all of his time watching television that I hated, and I mostly hid in the bedroom with earphones in, trying to get some peace. When I finally realized that he was just keeping me around as a roommate and was never going to marry me, criterion 6, I moved out. The day I left, he didn't even say goodbye to me. When I emailed him saying that it bothered me that he didn't say goodbye, he told me that he had considered us broken up for the whole 2 years, so he didn't feel he needed to say goodbye to me. Criteria 6, 7, and 9. I was devastated. He had lied to me and wasted time that I could have spent trying to find someone who truly loved me and was not an exploitative narcissist. On their own, any of these actions doesn't look too terrible. Perhaps he simply forgot to tell me that he thought we should move in together. Maybe he really liked his building and wanted to stay. Maybe he likes watching television a lot and is careless about making sure the other person enjoys the show that's on. However, taken together, they show a pattern of disregard for the rights and needs of others that is pervasive to his personality. I should also say that Adam was probably the nicest of the narcissists I've dated, and this is a fairly light example. Many people wonder how kind and giving people end up with narcissists. It seems to be a pattern. When one person in the partnership is cruel and exploitative, The other person seems to be incredibly empathic and caring. This is exactly because narcissists have an unending need to be loved, understood, and cared for. In the article, Do Highly Sensitive People Attract Narcissists?, Andre Solo writes, "Narcissists have very lofty dreams. Nothing they do or achieve is ever good enough. So they're frequently upset, disappointed, or even wildly angry. Isn't there anyone who can treat them the way they deserve? Yes, unfortunately, and all too often it's an HSP, the person who keenly feels the pain of others and takes a true sense of satisfaction from helping. HSPs are often the first to try to console and comfort someone in need, and that puts them at risk of being pulled into a narcissist's trap. What happens is that whenever the HSP gets exhausted by the NPD's selfish and exploitative behavior, the narcissist reels the HSP back in by love bombing. What is a love bomb? It's a super romantic date or trip or an expensive gift out of nowhere. The HSP thinks, oh, I was overreacting. He really does love me. And then the narcissist goes right back to sucking the empathy and kindness out of the HSP. If you're recognizing yourself or your relationship here, please don't blame yourself. It's not your fault. It's an insidious trap that unfolds over time and plays on your capacity for kindness and empathy. However, I urge you to get out now. It will not get better. It will only get worse. Leaving a narcissist can be incredibly painful. He will blame you and make you question your decision. He will punish you. The intermittent reinforcement the narcissist gives, alternating between intense attention and then intense lack of attention, is addictive. And leaving a narcissist can feel like detoxing from a drug. However, once you're through the detox, it can feel like being freed from a long and arduous prison sentence. The day I received my divorce paperwork after I left my NPD ex-husband and I saw my name in print changed back to the one I'd been born with was one of the happiest days of my life. I walked away from the courthouse holding my divorce papers with a smile on my face, so radiant that several people stopped me as I walked back to my car and asked me why I was so happy. All I could do was hold up the quarter-inch thick divorce decree and say, I'm free. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this week's I'm Sick, Not Crazy podcast with myself, Jennifer James, MFT. Please remember that this podcast is educational in nature and that it's not intended to substitute for medical or psychological advice. To learn more about my work, to share podcast topic ideas, or to book me for speaking engagements or interviews, please visit my website at jenniferjames-author.com and choose the contact link. If you would like to support my work financially, you can find me at patreon.com/jenniferjamesmft. Thank you, and remember that you can take control of your own health.